Well, I'm certainly thankful the pastor gave one more opportunity for somebody to be saved.
Yes.
I didn't want to get up here without that being done, because I'm not preaching on salvation, but I'm surely thankful for the good words we have heard.
Yes, sir. And
all of the good preaching we have heard this morning and on last night. Thank God for His goodness and grace. There was a song popular back many years ago. Of course, it was played on country music stations and then some, quote, religious Christian stations, unquote, played it. But it was entitled, "Me and Jesus Got a Good Thing Going." But that's not right. Jesus has got a good thing going. And I bless His name that He let me in on it. I didn't have anything to do with it. He did it all Himself, as we've heard through these preachers this morning. I'm telling you, they charged my life. They really have, and I praise the Lord for all of them and every word that we've heard. We'll go into Exodus chapter 32. If you'll open your scriptures there, please. Exodus chapter 32. And I want to begin reading at verse 25. "And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, 'Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me.' And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, 'Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor.' And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men." Will you please pray with me and for me? Father, we thank You so much for what You have done in our hearts and lives this morning. Thank You that we have been privileged to hear from heaven, and we have been blessed to worship the God of heaven, and we have been honored to sense Your presence in our midst, moving and working in hearts and lives. And Lord, I believe with all my heart, if any person leaves this meeting this morning without a work being done in their heart by You, it surely cannot be blamed by You. Because, Lord, You have done so very much in our midst. Thank You, Father, for breathing on this place and on Your servants, on Your people, on this pastor. Thank You, Lord, for everything. Now I pray that You will touch us and help us, that we will be faithful to You in what You have placed upon our heart. May we learn what we need to learn, and may we determine to give You our all. We pray in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen and amen. I want to reread verse 26, and we'll lift our text from this verse. "Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, 'Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me.' And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him." Now, our text is simply the question asked by Moses, who is on the Lord's side? Now, please observe with me that Moses does not ask, who is on my side? Let him come unto me. And many times it seems that some are more interested in getting people on their side than they are on the Lord's side. And when I was at the tabernacle, here was my ministry. I've never tried to draw you to me. I've tried to, isn't that right, Brother Harvey? I've tried to draw you unto the Lord. For here's where I stand there. If I can get my people drawn to the Lord, I won't have to worry about them being on my side. Because if God's people will be drawn unto Him, then they will accept the leader that God has given them and support Him, and they can go on down the road. Who is on the Lord's side? Now, you see, it is the Lord that has been sinned against here. And it's not Moses, but it is the Lord. If you remember what David said in the 51st Psalm, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned." Well, we all know that David sinned more than just against God. He sinned against Bathsheba. He sinned against Uriah. He sinned against those soldiers that died with Uriah in that battle. He sinned against Joab because he pulled Joab into the conspiracy to get rid of him. And he sinned against himself. When Nathan came and brought all that was going to transpire in his life, it proved that David had sinned against his own life. Especially when he said the child is going to die and the sword will never part out of your house. Now the reason, amen, that I'm saying what I am now, God is first. Every sin is against God. Amen. And I may, if I should sin against you, Brother Ben, I want to come to you and ask you to forgive me. But I sinned against God first before I ever sinned against you. And that's exactly what David is saying here. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. Because he was the primary one out in front. Now, we are familiar with this portion of the history of Israel on their march to Canaan, that Moses has been in the mountain 40 days. Now, Moses had properly instructed the people. We can go back to chapter 24, if you will. And we will begin reading at verse number 12 and read a little ways, Exodus 24. "And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God." Now notice the next verse. "And he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come unto you again. And behold, Aaron," I'm going to refer to this again, "Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them." And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. So Moses has been up into the mount for 40 days. If you'll notice on the beginning of our chapter, 32 and verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not what is become of him. Well, that is untrue. They knew exactly where Moses was, and Moses instructed them on where he was going, what was going to take place there, and he left with them, if you remember, Aaron and Hur, and if they had any problems, to come to them and let them settle them for them. No, so what I'm saying here is simply this. Here is the man of God not leaving his flock unattended. He's very careful to leave them in the hands of capable men. And it is evident that Aaron and Hur are capable men. If you remember, when Israel was faced with Amalek, God said unto Joshua, You go out and fight with Amalek. I'm going up to the top of the hill, and I'm going to observe from there. Now, it's amazing, a lot of young men would have said, Oh, no, you go fight. Let me go up on top of the hill so I can observe and see what is going on. If you remember, as long as Moses held his hand up, Israel prevailed. But the Bible said that he became weary. And, of course, you try holding your hands up long. Amen. Especially with a 9.5-pound M1 rifle between your fingertips, holding it by the stacking swivel, you'll find out that you're not all of that strong. Holding your hand out for a few seconds is not too bad, but you try holding it there a long time. And so Moses held his hand up. Israel prevailed. When his hand came down, then Amalek prevailed. Aaron and Hur, these two capable men right here, amen, stood on either side of him, set him on a rock, and held his hands up, amen, until Israel had won the battle. So God left them in charge. Now I want to say this. When he said to Joshua, You go out and fight Amalek in the valley, I'm going up with the rod of God in my hand on the top of the mount. Amen. Now here is Joshua. Who is it that is the successor to Moses when they get ready to go over the Jordan River? Who's going to lead them across? Amen. It can't be Aaron. Amen. Aaron has sinned against the Lord. Now you pray for me because I want to get done here real quick. All right, so now here is Joshua. Amen. He is Moses' minister. I don't know exactly what happened, but the Bible said they went up together. But when they got on that mount, it was God or Moses who went into that cloud to meet with God. So somewhere along the line, he left Joshua off. And so when he comes back down, guess where Joshua is? Sitting, amen, sitting right where the man of God left him. Amen. Now listen, Moses has been on the mountain for 40 days. This is difficult for Israel, but it isn't difficult for Moses' minister. He said right there, because on the way back down, if you remember, he picks up Joshua, and Joshua says, I hear a noise of war in the camp. No, that's what God calls worldly music, noise. Amen. And so, amen. And so here is Moses. He is saying, hey, he said, that's not a noise of war in the camp, but it's them that's playing music and singing. And they got down there and they were dancing around that camp. Amen. But Joshua, the man of God, stayed where his leader told him to stay. He didn't know when he was coming back. Didn't matter to him. Set him down here. I'll be back after a while. Just like he told the nation of Israel. Now, Joshua could take orders good. And so when Moses moves off the scene, Joshua leads his people across the Jordan River. And from that I get this. Until a man can take instruction, he is not worthy to give instruction. And so here the man of God picks up and says, you get ready. In 3 days we're going to cross the Jordan River. Hallelujah. So Moses been on the mountain. I'm feeling all right now. And he'd been up there for 40 days and he comes back down. And Joshua waited on him. Now here is our text. Who is on the Lord's side? And so the Lord's side meant this. It meant some restraint, or it meant some conflict to the way Israel wanted to live their life. And so Moses said, who is on the Lord's side? Now I point out, as we discover, we'll discover, it yet means the same thing today. What does our lifestyle reveal? So everybody knows whose side we're on by the way that we live. Oh, we may fool somebody a little while, but it's going to come out. Amen. It's just like the measles. It's going to break out on you. Somebody's going to know who you are, if you are real or you are not. And I believe God will bring them into the place to manifest that. I believe that. We shouldn't be so shocked when we find out the truth about somebody. We ought to bless the Lord that He's made it known.
Yes, sir. Amen, brother. Amen, preacher. Praise God.
You do know there are two sides. Who's on the Lord's side? All right. Are you on the Lord's side? Boy, hallelujah. I've heard some people this morning who's on the Lord's side. And that means more than just the preachers too. I've heard some people who are on the Lord's side. Now notice here what our text, or what brings our text about. The shameful attitude of Israel. And how shameful it is. An attitude of ingratitude. How good Moses has been to these people, and what little thing he asked out of them. Their impatience, their insubordination, and their insolence against their leader. And all of these, we have to be careful about these things, because they're going to lead us somewhere. And they led the nation of Israel to infidelity. We don't know what's happened to our leader. We don't know where he is. We don't know what's going on, and we're left here alone. We've got to have a God. We've got to have a God. We've got to have somebody to worship. And so, Aaron, you make us a God. Now we come to the sinister accommodation of Aaron. And when Moses confronts him with what he has done, here's what he said. I cast it into the fire. And there came out this calf. I just took all those gold earrings and necklaces and bracelets and rings, and I threw it in the fire, and poof, here this calf jumped out. But the Bible says that he fashioned it with a graven tool. So here is the solemn admonition of Moses. Who is on the Lord's side? So I begin to meditate upon this question that Moses asked the nation of Israel. Who is on the Lord's side? And so when I began to meditate upon this, this question came up. What does it mean to be on the Lord's side? Must have meant something. For Moses said, who is on the Lord's side? So at least five things came to mind as I was meditating on what does it mean to be on the Lord's side. So let's look at them quickly. Number one, it means a choosing. This matter of being on the Lord's side doesn't come naturally. If it did, there would be more on the Lord's side than are not on the Lord's side. So it doesn't come naturally. It has to be chosen. And I don't have to make you aware of this. You know it already. The Lord's side isn't chosen by many. And it's not only that, and I've heard this before. Well, I'm just going to remain neutral.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you something. That's impossible.
That's exactly right.
You cannot remain neutral. There is no neutrality in this matter of the Lord's side. Amen. No. No, sir. Well, I'll just remain neutral. A man told me one time, I was witness to, I've never done anything against him, so I don't believe he'll do anything against me. I said, well, here's what the Bible said, just like we've heard this morning. Here's what the Bible says. But listen to what Jesus said about this. He that is not with me is against me. Now, we don't have to go to the Greek to clear this contradiction up, because there is no contradiction here. Anybody, these little children in the fifth and sixth grade, five and 6 years old, amen, knows what this is talking about. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. And so the Lord says, if you are not helping me, amen, you're destroying me. Amen. And if you're not with me, you're not walking with me and living for me, then you are against me. There's no neutrality here. And so it takes a choosing. Listen to this great prophet Elijah when he's on Mount Carmel. And he says this to the people, how long halt ye between two opinions? There's two opinions, he said. If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. In other words, you can't just hang here. Amen. You can't hang out. Amen. You're going to have to go one way or the other. You're going to have to go with God, or you're going to have to go with Baal.
Amen.
Which way are you going to go, he said. Well, so many Baptists are ashamed of their identity. I was just in a meeting in North Carolina, first part of this week, and a pastor came up and was telling the pastor of the church. He's a pastor in a neighboring town. He visited the meeting, and he named some Baptist church up there in I believe Hickory. It's either Hickory or Lenore, and said they've taken their name Baptist off of the sign. Well, when we made our church sign years ago, we had, it's a beautiful sign carved in stone, and it's Harriman Baptist Tabernacle. If I had it to do over again, I'd have it Harriman Baptist Tabernacle. I'm not ashamed of what I am. Amen. And I want you to know what I am. Of course, you know what I am already. But I'm independent Baptist from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. God didn't call me to fight anybody. Amen. But he did call me to preach the truth. And I'm going to preach the truth. Amen. This will never happen. This will never happen. But should there come up a movement more close or closer to this Bible than the Independent Baptist, then I'm going to join it. But until that happens, I'm going to stay just exactly what I am. But I know it's not going to happen, because we're getting farther and farther away from the traditions laid down by our fathers. Amen. And from the landmark which the Lord has given us through our church fathers. Amen. But listen what the Lord says on this same manner. He said, I wish, I would that thou wert cold or hot. I wish you were one or the other. If you're hot, I just leave you alone. Burn out for me. But if you're cold, I can warm you up. But if you're lukewarm, you're complacent and satisfied, and I can't help you at all. I wish you was one or the other, he said. Oh, mercy. So there has to be a choosing. Have you chosen to go with him? Are you on the Lord's side? Have you chosen that? Lord, you've been so good to me, as we've heard this morning by these preachers and their preaching. Has not your heart been enriched?
Yes.
Amen. Has God not filled your tank that you can run a few more hundred miles when what he has done here this morning in your life?
Amen.
We've been reminded over and over of the goodness of God. Amen. And what all he is and what he's done for. And if you've not chosen, then for Christ's sake, choose right now. I'm going with God.
I'm going
on his side. Amen. Then, number two, there has to be a coming out. We're going to be on the Lord's side. There's going to have to be not only a choosing, but there's going to have to be a coming out. We must separate ourselves from those on the enemy's side. And God has a lot of enemies in this world. It is our duty to do that. Now listen carefully. If we are going to come out and we are going to separate ourselves from those on the enemy's side, we're going to have to be able to resist the influence of numbers. I am not against numbers. Thank God for numbers. And I know there are some very large churches that still preach the gospel and the truth and have standards and love God. Hallelujah for every one of them. But I said some, but the majority are a whole lot smaller. And if the crowd influences us, then we're not going to come out all the way. But we're going to have to separate ourselves from the crowd. We're not going to allow the numbers to influence us. Now, I don't know a more sincere man than Pastor Wayne Sexton. I mean that. I don't know a more sincere man anywhere. I promise you, if this preacher just quit preaching, I'm going to say three, but probably two. If he quit preaching against two things, you'd be buying a piece of ground. But you know what? I doubt very seriously we could come back to this church and experience what we've experienced this morning. They can't bother us. We're going to have to be able to resist that. Because I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus talked about two roads. Now, I think that has to do with the Christian life. He's talking about two roads. And the many, amen, are going one way, but it's down to destruction. The few going the other way, and it's unto life. And I preached this to a church somewhere. I said, on the road I'm on, there's a whole lot of elbow room.
Yes, sir.
But on this other road, it's crowded. I mean, you're just getting along like this. I mean, there's so many of them. But boy, this one, you can just kick your leg up or sling your arm out. You don't have to worry. There's plenty of room on this road you and I are traveling on. Amen. But I want to be on the Lord's side, don't you? I want to be on the Lord's side. Amen. So here we are, the numbers. And here's something else that can influence us is acceptance. And I want to be, don't you? Prestige. The world's not mocking the mega churches. They're mocking you. I'm on the Lord's side. You on the Lord's side? Amen and amen. Listen to this. Neither the crowd, consent, nor the charm will be on the Lord's side. There's so many people has it in this world. I'm going to make a name for myself. I never will forget the first time I ever heard Larry Raines preach. I still remember that message, mocking the master. I don't know if you've preached it here or not, but you need to if you hadn't. They mocked his message. They mocked his method. He had 4 points. I remember. I think of the others, but. And I said, Lord, I just started. My first year. I just started. I said, Lord, can I preach like that someday? I don't think I ever have, but boy, I tell you, I listened to those men preach, and I said, Lord. Then after a while, the Lord had to teach him something. I never will forget the first time I ever heard myself on a tape. Boy, it's a thrill, isn't it? The church they had a radio broadcast. And without a pastor, they said, Brother Jones, I was a young adult Bible teacher, and said, well, you just make the broadcast for us. I said, yeah, I'll do that. So we sang, and I made the tape, and I went home. Turned that on, I said, Lord, have mercy. I said, honey, come in here a minute. She come in there, and I said, one thing. She said, what? I said, please tell me I don't sound like this. And boy, I'm telling you, she really bursted my bubble. You sound exactly like that. I said, I'm done for. I'll never be a preacher. I'll never be anything. And then after a while, God taught me. I knew how you would sound before I called you. And I called you. And I know he called me. Amen. There's some things I know in this life, buddy. That's one of them. I know the good Lord called me to preach. And then when I heard Brother Raines, and when I heard Milford Biddle and let's see, who were some of those other guys? Curtis Barbary and even Tom Hayes back in his days, and Estes Perkle, and I thought, man alive, and then the Lord one day convinced me, Brother King. He said, I called you to be what I want you to be. I don't want you to call me. And that helped me. When the Lord convinced me, this is what I want out of your life. You be what I want you to be. And don't worry about that. And then it really helped me when I read John 21. And the Lord said unto Peter, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow me. I said, hallelujah, that's me. Thank you, Lord. That's what I'm going to do. Amen. That's what I'm going to do. But so many people want to make a name for themselves. They want to be like so-and-so. You say, and I'm not making light, please, and I'm going to be done in a minute. But you see somebody, they want to preach like somebody so bad. They'll hold their hands like they do. Lord, let's be what God, get on the Lord's side. Get on the Lord's side. Let God do with you what he wants out of your life. Then there has to be a committing. Do you know the Lord has a claim on our allegiance? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Then if we're going to be on the Lord's side, number 4, there has to be a contrast. And there will be a contrast. There's a difference. Brother Raines was telling me about seeing this black lady. And she was, I guess, outside the motel, and standing there by her car with a nice, modest dress on. And a young girl came by, same way. And so Brother Raines asked him, said, you all Christian? Yes. Yes, we're Christian. There has to be a contrast. Hey, let me tell you something. If we just wear our Christianity inside this building, we're not on the Lord's side. Ho-ho, everybody ready? I'll tell you whose side we're on. If we just come in this church and wear our Christianity, we're on the preacher's side. Because we know what we're going to hear. And so we want to look good. Am I okay?
Yeah, we want
to look good. Amen. That's the truth. And I'm going to tell you, that's all it means to some preachers. I preach, I'm not going to tell where I preached a message. And I preached about a pastor and his people. What the pastor is, what his responsibility is, what the people are, what their responsibility is. And I talked to them about their pastor having to preach on things because he loved them and he wanted them to be in obedience to that. And that was the reason he was doing that. Well, I didn't think anything about it. And I'd preach it here. I'd preach it anywhere because it's the truth. Amen. Well, I was in Mississippi. And a fella in there came up and he said, "Brother Jones, I want to come to the meeting tonight." He said, "I want to tell you something." He said, "You know that church you were in another state and you preached about the preacher and his people?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "When you left..." He said, "That preacher got up on Sunday morning and said, 'Now you don't pay attention to what Brother Jones said.' He said, 'You do what I tell you to do because I told you to do it.'" I don't have any use for that kind of stuff. If we try to get anybody to do anything outside the purpose mainly of Jesus Christ, then we have failed in our ministry. Oh my. So there has to be a contrast, all right? When others around us are involving them, aren't you glad I got notes? All right, when others around us are involving themselves in worldliness and wickedness, we stand aloof. We stand against their activities, but not against them. Amen. I said we stand against their activities, but we don't stand against them.
Yes.
Was Jesus against adultery? But you know what he said to that woman? "Doth no man condemn thee? Neither do I condemn thee." Did he love her sin? No, but he loved her soul. God, let me love people's soul. I don't care what they think about me. Let me love people's soul. You know what? We only stand against sin, but we show that we're on the Lord's side when we stand against it. Now, I have some sin in my extended family. I prayed for them. Try to pray for them every day. Beg God to bring them to repentance. Let them see where they are. The sin is against God. But I love them. And they know I love them. I am not going to associate with them in their wrongdoing. Amen. I'm not going to do it, but I'm going to love them. Amen. Jesus loved me. We are separate from them, but we're not better than them. We stand true to God and His Word. We neither back up nor do we compromise the Lord's principles or precepts. But we're not better than them. You take the grace of God out of us tonight, today, it's no telling what we would do before dark.
Yes, sir.
I'm just glad He let me be on His side. I'm just glad, Brother John. That's my, I know I signed my name, Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope. But boy, if I had one verse to hang on, about all the verses in the Bible, it would be John 6:37. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Do you remember what you said when you got saved? No. But I remember this. I came to Him and He promised me He would never cast me out. I'm hanging on to that. Amen. And I'm glad He not only saved me, but He lets me be on His side.
Yes.
I'm on His side. Hallelujah. We have no power over another person's heart to turn it into the right path. And yet we're to love them. Has anybody ever upset any of you pastors? You told on yourself, didn't you? We all, just be honest, we've gotten upset with people. Amen. Somebody said, why did you retire from pastoring? I just can't handle the pressure. Years ago, I just... But anymore, it aggravates me. I mean, a man has sat and heard me preach for 30 and 35 years. They all know better than that. I'm going to do like that black man. My dad was fishing, and he said this black man came down by him and said, now I'm not making fun, I'm just telling you what Dad said. And Dad said, he came out there and he'd fish and fish and nothing happened. Said he looked at his boy and said, I don't want anything out there like worms. So he said he baited up a big gob of worms on his hook and he threw it out there. Nothing happened. Said in a few minutes he had an old plug and he was casting that thing and casting it. And in a few minutes he said, I never heard such a racket, a jumping and a thumping. And I looked and said, here he come up the bank with a big bass about that long. And he looked at Daddy and he said, two things, sir. He said, number one, I hooked this critter in the tail. Evidently, that bass must have been on a bed or something, and that plug hit him just right. You imagine pulling a fish in backwards? They're pretty hard to pull in forward. But he pulled that thing in, and here's what he said. He said, I'm quitting while my luck is good. And so, that's the way I feel about pastoring. Then there has to be a comprehending, number five. You got to understand some things. It's not man's that walketh to direct his steps. And the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Amen. Then there has to be a sensing of safekeeping from the wrath of God. Boy, we heard about it, didn't we? The wrath of God is come. But all on the Lord's side didn't feel the wrath. All of those who were not on the Lord's side felt the wrath. Amen. And I believe it, Brother Ben. It's coming. There is no doubt it's coming. Amen. It's come. This world sitting back laughing, making fun of us as if we're going on and on and on. But God's got the reins. He's got the reins in his hand. He's going to stop it. I assure you of that. Then there has to be a sensing of sure judgment coming upon those that are not on the Lord's side. And there has to be a discerning of the summons to come to the Lord's side. There was a day when I came to him for salvation. Then there was a time in my life when I came to him in surrender of my all. And I'm going to tell you the truth, ladies and gentlemen. I hate to admit this. I really do. But since Brother Price told on himself, I'll tell on me. I was saved as a young boy. And I did a lot of things after I saved I shouldn't have done. I really did. But one night, my wife and I had visited a little Baptist church down in River City when I lived in Florida, and the pastor came by and he was talking to us and he said, you're saved, aren't you, Miss Jones? And Sandra started shaking her head and crying. She is ironing. And he said, well, Miss Jones, let's get down here and you get saved. I said, get down here, James, and pray with her. I said, pray with her? As cold and indifferent as my heart is from God, how can I pray for her? And you know, it's dawned on me, Brother John. What if we'd been in a car wreck and she is dying and my heart cold away from God? And I remember what I said that night. And this is the truth, so help me God. We had a little old throw rug. We had terrazzo floors. We couldn't afford carpet, anything like that. We had a little old throw rug on the front in the living room. And we got down on that. And I felt that I could have slithered up under. I'm telling you, you get before God, you'll see how big we are. And here he was in all his holiness and righteousness. And here I was in my waywardness. And I remember I bowed and I said, "Oh God, I don't have much to offer, but if there's anything in my life worth having, I give it to you tonight." And I meant it with every fiber of my being. I got up, I didn't feel any different. I really didn't. But I knew something had changed. I got up the next morning and I had to drive 51 miles to work down I-95 to Melbourne, Florida. I'd been by that airport I don't know how many times, those jets taking off, leaving that big vapor trail. But boy, that morning, it looked like silver. Those old birds that stood out in that field, I didn't pay attention before, looked like angels. They were white. They just glistened. God made a change in my life, and I meant, Brother Raines, that night, it doesn't matter whatever happens to me, I'm yours if you'll have me. And thank God he took me. That's why I love him. Not only that he saved me, but as a wayward prodigal, he took me back and loved me. And I've tried to this day. It's been well over 50 years ago, and I've tried this day to be on his side in every situation of life. You on his side?
Let's bow our heads for just a minute. Grace, if you just play, maybe there's somebody needs to recommit to the Lord's side. I don't know. He's dealt with your heart. Would you just obey this morning?